Welcome to the EBXML and Related Technologies Awareness Series. My name is Sascha Schlegel. I'm working for Cyclone Commerce X-Way. Today is May 5th, 2006. Today's topic is EBXML business process. My guests today are Monica Martin from Sun Microsystems, John Yonker from Amazon, Dale Moberg from Cyclone Commerce, and Derek Evans from British Telecom. Monica, please introduce yourself quickly for us.
Yes, hello, this is Monica Martin. I work for Sun Microsystems in the Web Technologies Group and have worked quite some time with our other participants here in EBXML and other web services standards, specifically business integration, for a number of years.
Thank you. John Yonker, do you want to introduce yourself to us?
Sure. This is John Yonker. I've been involved in the e-business standards for a while. I worked quite a bit on the initial RosettaNet standards, both the technology standards and especially on the business process definitions and the way that they were modeled. Continued on with the EBXML initiative, working primarily on the overall architecture and the business process. Currently doing business integration work with Amazon.com.
Thank you. Dale, please introduce yourself.
Well, like John, I've also been involved in standards work for some time, going back to IETF EDIINT effort in the 90s, so one of the first attempts to make use of the Internet for business-to-business communication, and up through RosettaNet and EBXML and web services. So I have a broad span in which I've been involved in these standards.
Thank you. Derek Evans from British Telecom. Please introduce yourself quickly.
I work for BT in the UK, and the work that I conduct is really about regulated e-bonding interfaces between BT as the incumbent carrier and other carriers in the UK, and what we specialise in is B2B ordering, fault reporting, and line test solutions for other carriers.
Okay. Derek, from your point of view, what is EBXML business process?
For me, I think it's two things. One, the obvious thing is a form of XML-based declarative language for describing a public business process. And that's quite useful in its own right, in that it's quite a terse and concise way of describing business processes to a standard format. But then the other thing, which perhaps is even more important, is the fact that it's a set of design patterns for how to design B2B transactions, loosely derived from the work that's been done on RosettaNet in the past. And really that just gives us a template on which to standardize our B2B transactions.
Thank you. John, what is EBXML business process from your view?
EBXML business process is a mechanism for parties to have a shared definition of the business process that is being executed. A shared definition is very important because it allows the various parties to anchor their private business process on a set of states and a set of tasks that are being executed as part of the business process. EBXML business process is very valuable in that it has a formal mechanism for not only defining those states and defining what alignment between parties on those states is, it also maps into technological execution of message exchange.
Thank you. Monica, from your point of view, what is EBXML business process?
It's really a standard process definition that allows you to express common shared e-business collaborations. It's quite flexible. It concentrates on business partners and collaborating parties to enable them to monitor and enable in an automated fashion their business processes, given their shared intent and their business expectations.
Thank you. Dale, do you have anything to add what EBXML business process is all about?
Well, I'm in agreement with John's view and Monica's as well on that it's a view of the public shared process of exchanging messages between parties. I first kind of became aware of the need to call out and explicitly describe these processes at the start of RosettaNet, in which they had begun talking about conversations, and they had seen that in their flow of documents it was implicit that one document would be followed by one or more of some other kind of document, and they had begun to definitely capture those patterns. And although in EDI it had been implicit that certain documents could be the request and the response or alternative response, it had never really risen to the idea of actually working out a description of the protocol, the flow of messages between parties. And so I think BPSS certainly does that, and it does also have this nice clarity of separation of interest so that you can anchor private processes with respect to that protocol flow. And I think that's still a growing area of interest in the people interested in business process descriptions as well as integration into their internal environments.
Thank you. John, what do you think of the two types of business process, the private business processes versus the public ones? Is it important to have to separate them?
It's very important to separate them because the as a business, you need to be able to develop your competitive advantage, but as a business, you also need to integrate with your partners. And as we've seen, as business process is more tightly integrated, efficiencies go up. But that said, the business still needs to be able to maintain its own competitive advantage, and they can only do that by augmenting their process to add value. And one other thing is that as you're integrating over a lot of different business partners, simplicity in the expression of business state is important in order to be able to align partners that have different private models. So there's a separation of Dale puts it very, very nicely in the separation of concern, being able to separate that which is important for execution of your internal business and the ability to observe and drive state at a partner, and have that be applicable over a wide number of partners.
Thank you. Derek, when we talk about the public versus the private business processes, what kind of ways do you see how we can relate the two?
Right. We tend to use BPS exclusively for the public process. Typically, what we do is a kind of three-phase approach. We agree the public industry process in the industry forum in our Word documents, and then we relate that to our internal enterprise architecture. And typically when we do that, we actually don't use process specification languages, and we come from a telco industry and we tend to use message sequence charts for that. So what we then tend to do is look at those message sequence charts where the messages exit and enter the enterprise. And that's where we start our BPS modeling. And effectively what we try to do is look for sensible message pairings or sequences for small parts of the processes that we can incorporate in a BPS specification. So it's not ideal. It's a bit of a mix and match relationship between the public and the private.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, what it means is at the end of that process, we do have a very clean definition of the public part of the process. We have a set of transactions that we can publicize that make no reference to our internal private processes. And I'm not sure with other process specification languages I would have been able to do that. I'm not sure if we use things like BPL or BPL-J or WSGI or those other kind of process definition languages that we wouldn't have ended up doing is specifying an internal private process and then just exposing a set of abstract stubs from that enterprise process rather than modeling from the outside in, as we've been doing with BPS, we'd have been modeling from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Monica, so once I define those collaborative, those public business processes, what do I do next with them?
Well, first, there's a lot of things that you need to know about what you have there, and then that helps you think about how you use them. You know, one of the things that's very important is that you concentrate on the community that serves. And that said, that community oftentimes has to be able to understand and describe the processes that are most important to them in many ways, whether it be the processes themselves, the process definition, the business transactions, the state alignment that they need to achieve for their business intent, and the different conditions that they have every day in their business. There's a lot that comes before that, okay? Mm-hmm. And when they think about those things, they start to visualize not only what those processes are, but how they will be used. So that's what comes next is usage, because that will help them to more so attach the relevance and the importance of those processes to their environment and to their partners, and to help complement and provide guidance to their internal processes. When you say what's next, there's a lot before, and there's much iteration after. It's really a circular process, I think.
Dale, you want to let us know the relation of eBXML business process to other, not only eBXML standards?
Okay. Well, just to add on one thing that I think Monica was talking about, she mentioned a lot of the things, but it's very much also our part of describing the agreement between partners to describe the quality of service that is to be maintained in this message exchange, as well as, you know, the more fundamental matters of state alignment and things that she was, equally fundamental. But each community, as she's putting it, has their own views about what kinds of security, how much time to perform is to be allowed. And I think one of the distinctive things about BPSS is it documents those matters, and it also is connected with the BSI that BPSS describes. It is a process of signaling to indicate kind of where you are in the midst of that creation of state alignment. But you ask about other standards and how we're connected. Of course, the CPA, which we talked about earlier, Sasha, is kind of is envisioned as connecting a business process with all of the details of the messaging systems, as well as perhaps having some information which might adjust some quality of service parameters, perhaps increase the security level for some private arrangement, for example. So CPA is very intimately bound up with process descriptions in general, and BPSS has been perhaps the first and leading example of how to tie a process level description, which is fairly abstract, to all the underlying technical detail about endpoint values, security algorithms, security policies, reliability agreement, and all that technological detail, what packaging will be used, what mine parts will be used, etc. So clearly BPSS is tied in to that, and because although eBXML doesn't have a standard about monitoring or doesn't directly bear upon monitoring, BPSS is certainly relevant to any person using the description of a business process in monitoring what's happening. I mean, the BPSS is in itself a part of the contract, the protocol part of the contract between parties involved in collaboration. And for, you know, just as a collaboration protocol agreement is one part of the contract between parties on the technical level, I mean, the BPSS is almost a more fundamental contract on the protocol level between what exactly is going to occur. So in monitoring service level agreements or contracts, it's important to have a way to describe what has been agreed to by the parties. And that obviously is a function that the BPSS can serve.
Mm-hmm.
So I just point that out. It's clearly tied through the CPA to messaging and various alternative messaging systems, although it does not itself you know, tie or force you to use a EPSS itself does not force you to use a given messaging system. Like it's compatible with web services or EVXML messaging, which is kind of like the web services, or even perhaps to earlier protocols like the REST style protocol of EDINT, AS1 and AS2.
Okay, thank you. Monica, do you want to mention something about the origin, the roots of business process, that it's coming from real business requirements and not some tech geeks, rather?
You know, this is an interesting differentiator. It's interesting and it's highly relevant. And it gets into the key features that were envisioned for EBXML business process specification schema and its relationship to other specifications. When in EBXML business processes, you have a continuum of the capability to compose simple to complex process definitions, to engage two or more parties, and that means supporting binary and multi-party collaboration, and attachments to web services. And also, if you choose, or as Dale pointed out, other underlying messaging protocols that are relevant or to guide quality of service. When you talk about communities, they have many different needs. And one of our key motivators in looking at the requirements we have and the functionality we know about, we've actively solicited our communities to provide us information, feedback, and the capability to verify our assumptions or add to our assumptions relative to what's been described thus far. And it's been very lucrative. For example, we've worked with Universal Business Language, UBL, who's also in OASIS, and they have created a modular set of process definitions for the small business subset that's also UBL compliant, which are both OASIS committee specifications or standards, to be able to describe their actual needs and community definitions of the business document, which the logical business document is described in BPSS, or we call it for short EBBP. And it's given us quite a bit of feedback about how we actually look at, provide semantic information for, and process, enable a standard definition of those logical business documents as they relate to the well-defined business transaction patterns that we use in the specification. In addition, we've gone out to Italian knitwear and transportation in Asia and government in Canada and in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. We've been seeking their feedback. And that's what business processes are all about. It's about business. It's about everyday activities that you want to automate where you have to have some type of shared understanding. That's not to say there's much benefit for many other types and other lower level and more focused, say, endpoint reference type definition. But this allows to easily specify the shared intent of the parties involved. And that feedback has given us a perspective, and also the communities that are participating, I think, have gained from that process, because that's what it all about. Standards are a focus and a almost like a after effect of the business that drives their use, okay, their development and their use, and that community is very, very important. And I don't think we would have done many things that we have done if we had not engaged our community, because they're the ones that, because it's less of lesser value if it's not adopted and used.
Okay, thank you, Derek. What do you think? Who is the end user of EBXML business process? Is it the business process analyst, or is it in the end going to be some technical person? What do you think?
I think if you follow the kind of UMM method that's behind EB business process, then yes, you can go from business process analysts all the way through to producing EBXML BPS type documents. So I think there is a role for using business process analysts to produce EBXML BPS documents. But what we've been doing is really, as designers, we've used BPS to specify interfaces between one technical team and another, usually against a business process that's already been predefined in industry using Word and PowerPoint templates. So typically what happens for us is that business analysts get together, they work out a business process on whiteboards and using a variety of tools, and then when we come to the party, we sit down and try and turn that into message sequences and processes using EBXML BPS.
John, in EBXML business process, there are not only the exchange of business documents, but there are also business signals. Can you tell me a little bit more about business signals?
Yes, business signals are important in that they allow positive state alignment between the parties. For instance, if you send a message to someone, you don't know whether or not they have received that message until you receive a response. While a lot of the protocols do contain responses, very often from a business perspective, you want to continue on with your process in the knowledge that your partner has received the document and because of a service level agreement has agreed to respond to you within a particular time frame. If you do not receive a signal back from the partner knowing that they have received the business document, then you cannot move forward with your process knowing that a response will be received within that time frame. Signals also have various legal and business semantic associated with them. For instance, a signal received from a partner can contain the following semantic. It can contain the semantic that, yes, I did receive your transmission. It can contain the semantic of, yes, I received your transmission and I am able to read and understand your transmission. Also, we have the idea of non-repudiation of receipt, which is where the partner signs the receipt with a binding signature so that you can tell that the receipt is binding. There's also, to one level further, is the semantic of I have received this document, I understand it from a business perspective. In other words, I accept it as a request. That doesn't necessarily mean that I agree to the terms and conditions in the document, but it does mean that you've gone beyond saying that it's readable to saying that it is something that I will take action on.
Thank you. Derek, what do you think, what are the key features of EBXML business process?
I think for me it's the way in which it links message exchange to business process. If I look at previous B2B work that I've done, it's been very much built around the idea of having a document library of things like purchase orders and purchase order responses and invoices, and then trying to work out a choreography of those messages to show a business process in action. And oftentimes we found ourselves describing the documents in one domain and the business process that exchanges the documents in another domain. So for me, the key feature of BPSS is the way in which you can actually describe an end-to-end public process in terms of message exchange and link the two quite neatly.
Mm-hmm. Dale, in EBXML business process, when we talk about the states, I think one important distinction is that if you look at it technically, there are two state machines running. There's no central one, but two, one on each trading partner side.
That certainly is one possible way to look at it. I mean, each the private processes of each side do run, but you might say they also are linked and work or should work to operate in accordance with a publicly describable state machine. There's actually a good deal of work going on in the OMG standards body in something called BPDM that former contributors actually to BPSS, Corey Kastanovis and Antoine Longjean, are developing, along with some OMGers, a model for how private state machines and public state machines are described and fit together, you might say, in one view. There's still a lot of things to be done, but I don't think that the way forward on how to, you know, view this as a state machine problem and how the things would fit together is in yet. And so I think the decision that the BPSS group made to just describe, you might say, a public common transition of states, a protocol, as it were, between two sides, between two roles, as it were, is probably a good abstraction level. And exactly how it relates to the underlying private state machines that are producing this public behavior is, I think, a thing to be worked on in this whole area, you know, investigated maybe in different standards groups over the next few years. So I don't think the answer is in on that. There are some promising approaches, and certainly we within BPSS will stay tuned to any support that we need to offer to make our approach fit in with the approaches of who focus on, let's say, private state machines. Monica certainly is more of an expert on how things like people and things might relate to this. And I think John has expressed interest in the future of versions of BPSS of maybe working this out in more detail. But I think it's an active area of interest rather than a completed view.
Mm-hmm. Monica, Paul is with you in regards to other business process standards.
Yes, there's several things. It's been somewhat mentioned here. The first thing is that you had the shared understanding of the processes and the different components that are a part of that. It becomes more concretized in the technical contract that's in the collaboration protocol, profile, and agreement. And then those artifacts can also be stored and accessed and queried against a registry, which would be highly relevant to EBXML registry repository. And much of what is in the EBBP or BPSS and further expressed in the CPA is also a driver and provides guidance from the business perspective as well as technical constraints and guidance when it is realized in the messaging for EBXML messaging service. If you look at other specifications, particularly in the 2.0X versions, right now we're at committee specification in OASIS with 2.03 of EBBP, you have the capability to map business transactions, including the messaging as well as the signals to web services at an abstract level, and is further enabled with the CPA. So that's highly relevant as well. And Dale pointed out some of the messaging relationships given the other specifications that operate at that level. If you look at it from a process perspective, business process execution language, which is also in OASIS, is really a single party view for orchestration, which is kind of a control view of a business process at a fairly granular level. As we spoke about before, that's highly relevant when you start to talk about the relationship between private, quote-unquote, or enterprise versus e-business or collaborative processes or public processes. And I think you're going to see a lot of work in the future. One thing that's important when you have these different parties and single-party view that may be limited, say, in the case of BIPL, to two parties, is that the compatibility between those process definitions is extremely relevant, if not critical, in business collaboration. So those processes need to be compatible at the BIPL level and expressed commonly at the shared view in order to enable end-to-end business collaboration. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of work in the future. with respect to choreography description language, which is in the World Wide Web Consortium W3C, it would be interesting, and I think we hope in the future to understand better how their view of distributed computing of web services endpoint could be used as a control flow with EBBP. There's a lot more work to be done, and many of these specifications are yet coming into the area of standardization. So I'm sure, as Dale says, there'll be a lot more work. From the visualization perspective, I think the value and experience of our communities, as well as our work, has been highly relevant to bring understanding of the complexity of business collaboration and choreography into the world of business process management, BPM, back to OMG, Object Management Group. I think we've learned a lot from one another. As you can see, and as he said, there's a lot more work to do.
Okay, so plenty of work ahead of you. Derek, in your introduction, we heard that you were providing solutions based on EBXML Business Process 1 specifications. So when you did implement EBXML Business Processes, what were your experiences with it?
I think what was good about it for me was the fact that, in effect, it was quite straightforward and natural way of describing business processes from the point of view of B2B architect. We were able quite quickly to define a set of business transactions and collaborations and link them to the messages that we wanted and get quite a concise definition of what the sequence was. So in terms of the process of producing a BPS document, we had no problems whatsoever, and we came up with a specification that was worthwhile. I think the challenges we had actually were nothing to do with business process specification at all as such. What it came down to is when we tried to describe quite complex and long-lived business processes, we found it very hard in practice to get a deterministic process implemented within our own business. What it turned out was that the industry processes that were in the Word documents described just the happy path of how things go. And there were so many exceptions and compensating processes involved that we couldn't incorporate in BPS without making it a very complicated affair, that we found ourselves really having to simplify our BPS models and not model the industry processes so much as individual process steps. So that was a bit disappointing. I was hoping we would get a nice automated end-to-end process between businesses modeled in BPS. And what we found ourselves doing, what we found ourselves modeling, was more like a set of RosettaNet pips instead, which means we didn't really get to use the full power of BPS for modeling complex collaborations.
Derek, in your projects, what were the major roadblocks with working with EBXML Business Process?
I think the difficult thing is really finding decent tool support. At the end of the day, EBXML Business Process is an XML document, and yes, you can edit it using XML spy, but just stupid things like using xlinks to link different elements of the document together, it's easier if you've got a tool that takes care of that for you. With BPS 1, we do actually have a tool that does that, but the vendor that provided that is no longer around, and certainly for EBBP version 2, it really would be useful to see decent tool support for that to make it worthwhile.
We're coming to the end of the interview already. If you would like to summarize or bring across the most important points of view from your side, please do so. John, let's start with you.
Yes. From my point of view, the place where we're going to get most of the gain in efficiencies through collaborations between companies in the future is by allowing them to work unfettered by the need to spend large effort on either defining the shared processes and implementing those shared processes. And in order for that to occur, an expression like EBBP that lays out those shared points in the process, the shared requirements, allows straightforward alignment of many private business processes with a community process that allows multiple companies to collaborate on the result is essential, especially one that has a clear mapping into the message exchange and various protocols that allow message exchange to occur. So I'm very much looking forward to taking EBBP towards the next level of enabling large groups of partners to collaborate with each other at lower and lower entry cost and lower execution cost.
Thank you. Dale?
Well, I think there are a lot of things coming up for BPSS. Looking forward to the next iteration. I'm regarding 2.03 as basically a kind of, you know, a wrapping up of things on the shared view of BPSS that will work and is usable for some time. But I guess it is this area of relating the public protocol, the public message exchange back and forth to the internal state transitions of the process, and deciding what, if any, of those state transitions in the private process need to be aligned in a kind of public shared view. That is the most kind of, we do have the BSI, we do have a system of signals that now exists, but there might be other ways of doing this. And I think one of the open problems that we face in BPSS is to allow for more innovation in this area, perhaps people looking at the WS coordination or other kinds of ways of aligning state in the private processes as needed, and we need to accommodate those in the future. And it gets fairly complicated to try to figure out, you know, how to do this, how best to do it, whether to always insist on a positive acknowledgments or simply report on exceptions. I think we're seeing a lot of different experimentation in the end user group, and certainly John in his position is familiar with some of the most complicated kinds of problems that are encountered in business process modeling. So I think with the input of users thinking about how to achieve state alignment, what the requirements are in that area, and then the mechanisms for doing it, I think we probably will move forward to a much more comprehensive view in the next release. But that's just following up on what we've been talking today. It's of interest to me.
Thank you, Dale. And Monica, from your view, summary of eBXML business process.
One thing I think that's really important, I think UBL is a prime example, and the criminal justice and governments such as in the Netherlands are probably key examples. Is that the shared view can be simple, it can be highly complex, it can be nested, it can be variable. It can include many, many documents that are composed and assembled in many, many ways. And that flexibility and that continuum creates a great challenge, but I think we've actually met the challenge in allowing a fairly reasonable as well as a core baseline for people to actually provide that shared view, and one of which communities can identify with, because we're here because of our community, and we need to concentrate on that.
Thank you. And Derek, if you would like to summarize what you think are the important bits and pieces of eBXML business process.
I think the important thing is the declarative nature of the language based on a robust business transaction pattern model focused purely on the public interface gives you a really effective way of agreeing B2B transactions with your partners, and I think that's a very powerful thing, and I've not seen that in any other process language or process modeling tool. So I think that's the excellent thing about it. The key thing then is to promote wider industry adoption and tool support. I think that's really where it is now. BP2 is an excellent product, and what we need is to get it out there in use and supported.
Okay. Thank you very, very much for your time and sharing your knowledge with us. And I hope our listener had a very interesting topic today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.